Hello and welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast where Kim
and Amy
bring you spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read. Amy, what did we read this week?
We read Tea and Scandal by Joan Smith, which is one of a big swathe of Joan Smiths that have been recommended to us by our friend in Canada, Tara.
Because we read one Joan Smith, the one about the diamonds.
Aunt Sophie's Diamonds,
and it was horrendous. And so we were like, tell us the good ones. And she has sent us a big long list, which some of them I think have been named because Joan Smith just wrote down a bunch of things that sounded like a Regency book title and put them in a jar. And when she finishes a manuscript, just pulls one out at random. Because sometimes I'm like, how is this? Like, yeah,
Sweet and 20 that we previously reviewed. That was like, what?
This is not relevant.
It should be called Whigs and Tories, a political scandal. Okay, so this is
Do you want to do the spoiler free?
Oh, that means you need to do the setting.
Oh, this is set in Regency England. Is that true?
I just always sound so much more enthusiastic and confident when I say this.
Well, it's because you know I'm...
It is. They always are. 90% of the books
Give me a do-over. Okay. This is set in Regency England.
And what type of genre is it, Kimberly?
It's a romance novel.
Oh, it's a Regency romance.
It's love a Regency like a drawing romance. Room Regency
yeah,
romance.
Yeah, it is. So, what's her name? What's the character's name? Jane? It's Jane.
It's Jane.
Yeah. So, Jane has been a governess in Bath, and she arrives on page one at the doorstep of her aunt.
I've read five of almost this exact book by lots of different authors recently. And as you started explaining that, first of all, everyone is a governess in Bath. Isn't that a thing? But as soon as you started explaining that, I was like, no, that's a completely different book. And I'm like, oh no, that is the setup in this book as well. Carry on.
She arrives.
Thank God you're doing this spoiler free.
On the doorstep of her aunt's house. Her aunt was a companion to a
countess?
Yeah, like lower level aristocracy, lady something or other. And her employer passed away and she then married
his
lordship,
husband,
who was quite old and has recently passed away.
Jane, she was essentially the housekeeper.
She was the housekeeper.
Because it was a country kind of estate.
She was quite well liked. Aunt Faye is what Jane calls her. So Jane turns up because she's been sacked from her job in Bath. Miss Prism's very, very, very prim and stern school of governesses because...
She's not a school of governesses.
Well, it's a school with governesses. It's a lady school, but
she's
Italian...
She's a teacher.
I know she's a teacher.
So stop calling her a governess.
Well, that's what they call her in the book.
No, they don't.
Oh, well, Jane's a teacher, but she's been sacked and doesn't have a reference because she was caught being kissed by the Italian dancing master or music master.
Yes, but Miss Prism has the hots for him, so he's allowed to do whatever he wants, including assault Jane.
She
and
doesn't
then get,
believe
yeah.
that any that the gentleman could do anything wrong, and it's all the lady's fault. So she arrives and is hoping to sort of just be able to stay with Aunt Faye for a bit, and Aunt Faye has been pretty much, once she married Lord What's-His-Chops, the society around just sort of turned their back on her, so she hasn't had a lot of visitors and she feels quite isolated, so she's very happy to have Jane stay and says, no, just stay with me indefinitely. I need a companion. No one will talk to me. I'll give you a wage. And Jane's like, that's about three times what I was earning in Bath. I'm here.
But also, and I feel like you're taking almost the length of this book to explain it. But,
I know,
important.
But the main thing is you didn't remember which book this was in, so
no,
I need to
now
start
I remember.
It. Great. All right. Give me the rest of the details. Oh, now that I've prompted your memory and you've done some retrieval practice.
Oh, my God.
Right.
No,
so what else happens in this
thing,
novel?
The important thing is, right, that the marriage is what's important.
Yes.
So Aunt Faye married his lordship, who was 72 at the time, and there were no children from the other marriage.
Yep.
He didn't have any heirs. And then he carks it. Everything gets left to her, but she's like an uppity, you know, she was the housekeeper, rah-de-rah.
How dare she?
So his family think that there's foul play going on, that she had, you know, knocked him off after they'd married, or that she had coerced him, or that he was a bit doddery at the end. They'd only been married like 6 months just before he died. Mm. And so everyone's like, foul play, foul play. And so a relative of his who was hoping that her son would inherit the estate in the absence of any children has arrived, and she is like hired a lawyer and is essentially just going on a smear campaign, trying to ruffle some feathers and shake the tree to see if something falls out. That means she can have the wedding annulled and then she can access the estate for herself or for her son. And into that comes Lord, insert name here. What's his name?
I feel like his surname was Foxton.
Oh, that sounds right. Okay, right. Lord Foxton, who goes to stay with a neighbour. That neighbour.
Everyone is staying at the with neighbour. His name is Swan.
And no, it's Swan Hall. That's not his name.
I'm actually really good. I think it tells you how many Joan Smiths we've read.
I've read so many Joan Smiths lately.
He had two N's in his name and it was sort of weird. Give me a moment. Keep
talking. Swan Hall is the name of his, because it has swans at it, and that is very central to his part of the plot.
But Lord Fenwick.
Yes, Lord Fenwick.
Lord Pargeter is the name of the old dude.
Uh-huh. So Lord Fenwick comes and stays with the neighbour.
Scarwen.
Scarwen. There you go.
That's the name of the inhabitant of Swan Hall.
And he is a distant relative of the now dead man. And
very amiable.
And so he was like, I'm just going to stick around and investigate kind of what's going on and see if this housekeeper turned lady of the manor did rip my, you know, cousin off or whatever. And so he kind of investigates, meets Jane, quickly ascertains that there's nothing dodge going on, but is like, ooh, but you are kind of enticing and interesting. That's it. The book's... That's the rest of things happen.
But except for the fact that Swan's decided that it would probably be a good idea for him to get married.
Yes, and Swan's like, perhaps I shall marry Jane. So, the end.
Not that his name's Swan. Right.
Can I go first still?
Bother me. No. Oh, yeah, you can, actually. Oh, yes, go first, because that was our original agreement. But you just have to talk. Kimberly, what did you think of this book whilst I look up the name of Swan?
You are funny. You're not even listening to me. This isn't the same as us having a conversation. This is you looking at your phone.
Okay, well, then let me just... What's his name? All right. Okay. Kimberly, what did you think of the book? I've abandoned the quest to find out what Mr. Swan Hall's first name is.
We'll just call him Mr. Swan Hall.
Mr. Swan Hall.
The Lord of Swan
Hall. Swanny of Swan Hall.
Okay, so I think it's important, first of all, to acknowledge that it's quite late in the day right now in our world, in the real us recording this world, because that was like the worst spoiler-free recap in the history of time. This book is not that complicated.
No, it's really, about an hour and a half to read this book, but it's not a novella.
No, but it's almost a novella.
But I can't be amazing. Do you remember how like a few weeks ago I gave a really good one and you were like, that was the best one you've ever done?
Yes. We haven't been able to do
average.
That. So I think it's a combination of it's late.
It's hot.
And it's hot. And we just didn't do our best work. But please don't be led astray into thinking this is some, like, complicated plot. And you're like, well, the girls just had a really difficult time doing that. Spoiler-free.
This is not a complicated
book. No. It is so not complicated.
All of that setup is, like, the first four pages.
Yeah. And it probably would have been more concise had we just read those pages to you aloud on this episode. So anyway, whatever. So I thought it was super simple, very cute. It was an adorable book. I really loved all of the characters, even like the annoying
Lady Sykes,
kind of waspish Lady Sykes person who's coming to hire lawyers and turn everyone against the housekeeper. It was so good.
His name is Scarwen Swan.
Okay.
So he is Mr. Swan.
Okay, well, it's also called Swan Hall.
Yep, great.
And so I really liked that there weren't too many characters. Like Swan Hall and Pargeter House or whatever are really close to each other.
But they didn't like build in all the village as well.
No, we didn't need any of that. I thought it was really sweet and really importantly for me, because I've read there are books like this that are essentially nothing really happens in it except they fall in love, the end. There is no mystery. Like there's nothing, there's really no other plot. Like we're not even kidding. There's a, like kind of a nod at a mystery, but it's not like...
I worked it out.
Well, Amy was like, after you read it, you said to me, I didn't think the mystery was very mysterious. And I was like, what mystery? And then you told me and I was like, I didn't think that was a mystery. I thought that was just plot happening. And you were like, I think it was a mystery. So I don't know. I'm not going to tell you though, because I'd hate to plot spoil the one piece of plot in the whole book. But
you're underselling it.
No, I'm not. I don't think it overstayed its welcome. I felt like it was the length of two novellas back to back.
Yeah, it was like literally it was an hour and a half.
But
of a read.
I just, like, I really, really enjoyed it. This will be one of those books when you feel like reading, like, Venetia by Georgette Heyer, which I think is a little bit too wordy. I think Heyer is...
No, you know, you love it.
I love it because Richard the guy... Armitage yeah, because Richard Armitage reads it. An abridged version yes, to you. But I need it to be an abridged version read and by I Richard need Armitage. Him to read it to yeah. me.
Whereas, Lord Dameril.
Whereas this book... That's what this is for me. Totally turn your brain off. You don't have to think about it. It's cute and it's sweet. You like everybody. The flirtation is not obnoxious or offensive. And you're like, this is just
there's
nice.
There's no stupid conflict where you're like, what?
No, there's no need to overcome
anything.
That was
conflict anything. For conflict's sake.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was adorable. Highly recommend it. Another total win on the Joan Smith front. Thanks very much for that one, Tara. And did Tara recommend us the first Joan Smith? Or was it someone else? I can't remember.
The first one was Imprudent Lady. And
yes.
Tara, and then we had a recommend
that's right.
from, I think, Karen in Chicago was Escapade.
Oh, I think loved was Escapade the second one. As well.
And we went on our own. Basically, if we then look we for went, ourselves, yeah, we get went on Sophie's our own Diamonds.
And it was bad.
Because Joan Smith wrote 900 books.
Yeah, so we need our hands held. But this was a tremendous one. I just loved it. It was bloody brilliant.
Can I give you my review?
Please. What did you write down?
I wrote, it's a very fun book about nothing.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
That's my review. The end.
I don't know. Mr. Swan of Swan Hall gets pretty into his swans. I
really liked Mr. Swan, and I really liked his mum. He has this incredibly senile mother who's, like, Miss Havishaming upstairs, and she hears that there are guests, and she's going to give us a 1780s-style dinner party with the same types of
none of this risque boys sitting next to girls, I tell you.
We shan't have amoral seating, and everyone's like, what?
It was... It was very funny. Those parts of it were really enjoyable. And
it made me smile, and I thought the characters were very sweet and very likable. And like you said, it did not overstay its welcome.
That's
and
the really most important that. Part for me for this book is that it was so it was an easy read,
boom, boom,
and
boom,
it was
boom.
Over very fast. By the time I was starting to contemplate how horrendously bored I would have been as a lady. In Regency England. Like, I think it's hilarious that we romanticize this period in history because, holy McDooley, I would have been so bored.
You would have made enormous amounts of quilts.
Oh, I would have done something like
you
that.
You had to do them by hand.
I don't know if I would have enjoyed hand stitching.
You would have had hems 6 inches deep in mud.
I would have had hems 6 inches deep in mud. And I would have just gone walking and riding.
You probably would have been working in some sort of factory.
I probably would have died at the age. 22. I wouldn't have made it out of infancy. Yeah. But my point is, it was the exact right length for me for a book of its nature.
Yep.
So it was perfect. Yeah, I loved this book. I would treasure it.
Recommend.
Recommend and I treasure.
It's the type of thing that I'd actually want to have as like a hard copy because it'd be nice and slender and you could just be like, I'm just going to feel the triumph of completing a book in one sitting, which I really enjoy that. Yes.
Agreed.
Read this. So
that's it.
Awesome.
Done. Thank you so much for joining us once again. We will see you again next week with more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we've read then. But until then,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.